you challenged me by telling me if I just did this for 2 weeks, you would get to make sure I got rid of my diabetes. And I thought, well, let me give it a go. Let me try it. Let me see what happens. And then when it did happen, that's really when I decided. I said, well, there must be some truth in it. I ate everything other than animal products.
Yep. Well, you did actually. You were sent to a dietitian.
It's true. I wasn't allowed to eat more fruit. I had to eat less fruit.
You were so
fruit,
demotivated on that diet.
And I had
diet.
To eat this and not eat that. And yeah, so I was the normal classic diet that everyone tells you, go on this diet, go on that diet. But at the end of the day, it's all or nothing.
And what was the changes you started seeing in Dad, Mum?
There was a big improvement in Dad overall, in his look, in his colour, in his personality, in his lost weight. And obviously if you lose weight, when you've got a lot of weight to lose, then you feel better.
But my saving was the pain I used to go through in my hands, my feet, my knees. I couldn't walk sometimes, I couldn't bend. My hands, I had to take tablets because it was so painful. And I don't touch anything now today, and that is instant. I mean, your pain just disappears.
Have you not had any kidney stones since being vegan?
Nothing.
And I don't take tablets at all.
Not one.
That's amazing.
I had high cholesterol, which was the genetic cholesterol.
Yeah.
And I was told I will never get my cholesterol down. But my cholesterol came down to 5.4. I went on to lose 10 kilos.
It's
Do
powerful.
You know how many people will say, you've only got one life. Why don't you just eat what you want? And then I want to say, well, yeah, I have got one life, and surely I need to live that life healthy. I want to live as long as possible.
Make it a long one and feeling
not,
great.
Yeah, eat to live and not
Well, my biggest scare is I don't know if I'm going to have enough money till I'm 120.
The world needs
many more vegans.
A whole lot more love and compassion.
This is Conversations with Changemakers with me, your host, Gary Tirola. Every week I bring you an inspiring leader that is rethinking what it means to be a changemaker. During these conversations, I slowly peel back the layers of the minds of our future leaders that are using their skills to positively impact this world. What is happening, family? And I'm saying that to you and my own family around this table. I am looking into the big brown eyes and blue eyes of my mom and dad, Hendrik and Sharon. These are the legends that have raised me for the last 30 years, that I've caused lots of trouble and pride, I should hope. But there is a deeper story here, and the deeper story is all about how one family that was raised in a butchery industry adopted a vegan lifestyle, or should I say a plant-based lifestyle, because my pops, he is still a butcher, but he is a vegan butcher and advocates veganism from the front lines. Which is great news. And my mom has also been the incredible vegan chef at home and has been able to convince a lot of people to start asking the right questions on health and what that means, being a vegan and not being a vegan. So welcome, Mom and Dad.
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
What's happening? So I know this is not your thing. But I've had many, many guests been asking me, when are we going to hear from the vegan family and the vegan butcher in particular? So, we're here. And the first question is going to be, how on earth did you find transitioning? And we can go one at a time. Let's start to my left. Let's start with Dad, and then Mom can answer as well. Like, how did you find transitioning to a vegan diet? How did you find transitioning to a plant-based diet? Was it difficult? Was it tough on you? First, how old are you?
Turning 69 at the time when I started. 68.
You were 68.
No, 67. I was 67. I'm now going on for 70.
70, and so it's never too late to start. So it's amazing. And did you find it hard?
Not really, because at first I wanted to, obviously I started because I wanted to try and reduce the amount of tablets I was taking for my health. And I thought it was important to give it a try. And when I decided to stop eating meat, I realized this, you know, for 2 weeks, let's give it a go. And when I found the results was amazing, I started to lose weight. I threw away my sugar diabetes tablet virtually after 2 weeks, was gone. And I just kept feeling better and better. But yes, it was difficult to just ignore the meat. But because of the advantages of giving it up, I just thought I have to keep going. And today I look back and I think to myself, nah, it was difficult, but it's so easy today. You know, after 3 months, one really forgets what you were eating and now you just realize you eat healthy.
How many pills were you on at that time?
I was taking 9 pills.
9 and schedule 5 pills it was,
well,
right?
There was... Mom can help him with that.
Yeah, Mom, what pills was Dad taking?
Considering I packed the pills every day.
So you weren't just the chef, you were also the pharmacist.
No, I was the pill packer and the chef. So it was...
You got the pill packer, the pill popper, the chef, and the pharmacist.
So it was pills in the morning, pills at night. So it was for blood pressure, for kidney stones, sugar, for ulcerators, colitis, blood thinners.
Cholesterol.
And then some weren't just one. It was 2 tablets, for instance.
Twice
your
a day.
Your sugar tablets were 2 tablets twice a day. So it was morning tablets and evening tablets, plus anti-inflammatories for sore joints and... sore hands, sore wrists. So it was quite some tablets to pack.
And how long were you taking these pills for?
Oh, gosh. Good 10 years.
10 years.
A good 10 years.
And how long did
And plus.
And plus. How long did you... How long was the diabetes in particular? Because that's what I want to...
It was a shock. It was like, I would say, 3 years.
Yeah, that wasn't for a very long time.
Yeah, it was about 3 years
that I would... It was like 3 or 4 years that you were taking. And your blood sugar was really high. It was, if 12. I remember, around 12. So it was...
So 12 is high, for those of you that don't know normal levels. Anything over 5 is high.
Quite right.
And... It took a solid
two, three weeks.
2-3 weeks, because you've got your own testing station at home, your own radiology center here, and you test your sugar. I think it was 2.5 weeks later, and your sugar dropped from 12 to 4.5.
Yeah.
That's correct. Right, eh? Yeah. And it's stuck there ever since for the last 3 years.
It's never been higher.
And when you transitioned, or should I say when we transitioned as a family, I was staying at home at that time still. It was still in your last home. I was just back from Johannesburg.
Yes.
And we're back here, and I was busy training for half Ironman, et cetera, et cetera. So it was like we were all doing this together. And the transition was, it was a very carbohydrate high diet. So you weren't going into like, you're still eating lots of fruits, am I right?
Correct.
Pastas.
We increased.
Yeah, still, right. Yeah. Still, I ate everything other than animal products.
Yep. And you had such a drastic change in the diabetes, which most doctors, I'm sure for those last 4 years, doctors didn't know what to do besides give you the glucophage pills.
Well, they gave me that too, because I mean, I wasn't doing any other thing, and they just knew I wasn't losing weight and I wasn't exercising. And yes, they gave me the glucophage pills to try and help me reduce it. But in the meantime, if I changed the diet there and then, I wouldn't have needed it.
Well, you did actually. You were sent to a dietitian.
Yeah, but...
But it was a regular dietitian, as in decrease your fruit and your...
Decrease your sugars.
Sugar.
It's true. I wasn't
and
allowed
it
to
didn't
eat
work.
More fruit. I had to
you
eat less
so
fruit.
You were so demotivated on
and
that
I had
diet.
To eat this and not eat that. And yeah, so I was the normal classic diets that everyone tells you, go on this diet, go on that diet. But at the end of the day, it's all or nothing.
So how did you feel though? Because I know you've tried every single diet.
I've been dieting all my life. I was a healthy, fit-minded guy all my life. But ever since I stopped smoking, I just kept putting on weight, 35 years later. And
replacing one habit with the next.
Correct. And the addiction was there. Well, I think the food addiction, the chocolate addiction, the gassy cool drinks was the main thing.
It was
incredible. My diet sugars, which is the worst thing one can eat, I used to use that plenty.
You've always liked sweet.
And I could never stop eating a chocolate. If I ate a piece, I had to eat the whole slab.
You've still got a sweet tooth now, and you still indulge in sweet stuff. It's just now
totally
vegan
health
sweet stuff.
Yeah, it's not sugared. It's not gassy cool drinks. I don't have any of that. And if I don't have a sweet, I don't long for it. If I have it, it's nice. Yeah. But I don't something long for. And I used to long for chocolates. I used to go especially to the store and buy it.
Yeah. So I think it's important to note that it really, if you look back at it in hindsight, it wasn't sugar that was causing your diabetes. It was a high intake of animal products. And basically, which that means is a high intake of saturated fats. Now, obviously, the jury's out there. I think most of the people that are listening to the show are vegan. So they're probably siding with me. But if there are any non-vegans out there who are potentially on the banting bandwagon, or the keto bandwagon, the proof is in the pudding, I like to say. And it really was, as you said, 35 years of dieting, of trying every diet out there and tried every system. And I know, I think there was even a Tim Noakes recipe book in the house. So guessing you went through that. And this was the first time that you were able to rid yourself of diabetes. That was 2 weeks in. Then I think it was 4 to 6 weeks later, you started sorting out everything else.
Well, I went to my doctor eventually for a checkup, and then we eliminated all the tablets. And there's only one tablet I do take, which is a blood pressure, which it just feels, it says to me, I should rather just stick with it because I have
atrial fibrillation.
That's correct.
Yeah, which is for people that don't know what AF is, it is an irregular heartbeat. Which is also very reversible with a change of lifestyle. And should I say very, very preventable with a change of lifestyle, meaning eating, keeping your weight in balance, etc. But yeah, your doctor's probably right. Your doctor also doesn't want to be held accountable. You've still got the AF.
I've still got the AF. Yeah. And in fact, I don't have to take warfarin for it because the blood passes through your heart as a vortex, so it can cause lumps. So they've put it through
it's called an amplatzer.
Which is a sieve. The blood is all sieved to prevent any damage.
Actually got is a regular, irregular heartbeat.
So your heart's pretty much doing a two-step dance.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just having a drill. You're 70 and thriving, and that's about it. But it is also important to know that blood pressure is the ailment that takes the longest to reverse. So it can take many, many years. And just like I say to everyone that I come across, it's the health that you're experiencing now is a cumulative your whole life. So you had 67 years of not understanding what the right thing to eat is, binging, eating the wrong things, eating blocks of cheese in the fridge, smoking. You've got like a whole lifetime of, and we all have, like, you know, like me, I had many, many years of drugs and alcohol, and luckily you never got into that, but we all are products of what we consume, and not just food. So also what we watch, so CNN and stuff like that. My dad's the biggest CNN supporter. We won't get into this episode. But I want to go one step back. I want to find out Nonna, your mom, my Italian grandmother, was a butcher too. And you became a butcher, and you've been in the butchery industry since you were four, and your two brothers and your sister and your dad, like it's in the blood. All my cousins, all your nephews, your nieces, so the whole family is in the butchery industry. So at the age of 67, you know, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, is what they normally say. What inspired you to change your lifestyle? What made you make that split decision at the age of 67? You know, like, where most people are saying, you know, I've lived my life. Like, why do I need to change now?
Well, I think basically, I mean, you challenged me by telling me if I just did this for 2 weeks, you would get to make sure I got rid of my diabetes. And I thought, well, let me give it a go. Let me try it. Let me see what happens. And then when it did happen, that's really when I decided. I said, well, there must be some truth in it. And we started to cycle, if you recall.
Mm.
We cycled Christmas all the way to Durbanville from here, 40 Ks.
Yeah, I mean, that was unbelievable.
I mean, I stopped exercising for years. I was a squash player and I had two knee replacements. I couldn't do that. And then I cycled and I bought myself an e-bike, which helps me just to encourage me to cycle. And today I cycle virtually every day if the weather's good to work, which is like 10 kilometers to work and 10 back. And I've even started to run. I mean, I run at least twice a week, 3 kilometers a time. So, and that's really what got me going. And I just feel good. I tell everyone else, I mean, if they just try it, I mean, if you feel good, then why not do it? I mean, as much as if I miss meat, so I don't now, but if at the time I just felt, why should I do it if I'm feeling good?
Yeah.
I feel energized, I feel healthy, I feel fit. And that's really why I'm doing it.
And what was the changes you started seeing in Dad, Mom?
Oh, well, Dad didn't need to go and have a sleep after work. You were less tired. I mean, you would come home and be dead tired. Mm. Dad would spend his life sleeping if he was not working.
Mm.
And Dad started to lose weight, and Dad just started to, in actual fact, you could see a change in Dad's skin. It started to glow. And I think that's one of the first things that people remarked on, besides that Dad was losing weight, was that his skin was looking so good, that he was glowing. I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather when Dad decided he's going to carry on being vegan. And I'll never forget, actually, this happened in the November or towards the end of October. And our first Christmas party we were invited to, we were going to neighbors, and I hadn't turned vegan yet. And they were having cocktails and snacks. And I didn't think anything of it. And we went, and they offered Dad snacks. And Dad said, oh, he's so sorry, he can't have this, he can't eat this because he's vegan. And I thought, wow, that's a big statement to make so soon when you don't know if you're going to be vegan. Like, you can't go back. I mean, you can go back, but like, do you know what you've actually just confessed?
Yeah.
And I was blown away by that and thought, okay, well, let's go. And that was then the first Christmas where Dad and you cycled to. I went in the car with all the food. We were going to friends for Christmas lunch, and you and Dad came on the bike. So, yeah, so there was a big improvement in Dad overall, in his look, in his color, in his personality, in his lost weight. And obviously, if you lose weight, when you've got a lot of weight to lose, then you feel better.
Yeah, he's got more bloody energy than any of us.
I know.
You're still to today, you're cycling home, you're getting home close on dark and winter, and you're still going for a run. I mean, like, just I try and do some jogging on the spot in the shower. So it's like, it really has come to that. I mean, I when you started your path in veganism, I was doing Ironmans. And now I'm not doing Ironmans, I'm more of a yogi. So you're like literally running more than me. It's incredible, but it's an incredible turnaround. And I want people really to hear this, that it's like it really is never too late. And most of the illness and ailments and diseases and pains and aches and that we experience physically and emotionally are derived from what we consume. And yeah, we consume media and we consume TV emotionally, but food, we really become what we eat. And it doesn't just help your health, it helps your relationships. You start getting energy again. I mean,
oh gosh, yes, I've got so many girlfriends now.
Careful, you're going to give mom a clap. Mom's strong now, dreaming. She's vegan. So I'll never to tell a little story. That first Christmas where we cycled to onto Deb and Uncle Mel. So to put this in relation for my overseas listeners, we're in Somerset West. We cycled to Durbanville, which is about a 40 kilometer cycle, which is a 25, 26 mile cycle, to Christmas lunch. And I couldn't believe that we were going to do this, because I had never to this day exercised with my dad ever. And it was quite a long cycle for anyone, actually, for anyone that's fit nowadays, even no matter what, it's a long cycle. And we're on the cycle, and about halfway through the cycle, you said something to me that I'll never forget. And I asked you, You said you were going to stay vegan for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I hadn't. And this now was 3.5 months down the line. And I never wanted to bring it up again, because I thought maybe you were just forgetting and just eating vegetables.
That'd be still in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, I was keeping it quiet, because I didn't want to like bring up, you know?
Yeah.
And then I brought it up on the cycle, and I asked you, so while like, how come you're still vegan? And you turned to me and you were like, how can I not be? I feel so great. And you've given me like a new lease on life. And that was the moment that I realized, that was my realization in life, where I realized what my calling was to be able to, I realized I had a place of power, in essence, of persuasion, of, you know, like an influencer to be able to inspire people to change their life, that it's possible to change your life around, and it's possible to change your health, and it's possible to do actually anything you want in the world. And you always got to listen to your body. And that's what you did. And you've just been doing it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And how did it benefit, before we get to the outsiders, because that's a very interesting conversation of what outsiders think. How did it benefit you guys as a couple?
Oh, I don't know. I think just it's easier.
Well, I became vegan because I was never a big meat eater.
You were ankle deep, and then you were knee deep, and then you became ankle deep, and now you're totally, and yeah.
No, it was easier. It's easier to cook when you are
all to the east.
When you're both vegan,
yeah.
Then when you're cooking for different people, so for
it's quite ironic,
because I've always been a health fanatic, really. So I've always eaten fruit and vegetables. So for me, it was a great.
Well, most people don't change to veganism because it's more convenient, but for you in this situation it was completely more convenient because you were cooking at home, and you had two hungry guys at home that that were both vegan at the time. So did you feel pressure to change to veganism, or did you start enjoying it? How did your transition come?
No, it was, if everybody else is doing it, then I might as well do it, and I was enjoying it.
If it's good for you, it's good for me.
Yeah, what's good for you is good for me. So it suited me. And in actual fact, Gary, you were cooking in the beginning to show us what we could all do.
Hmm.
And there was so much to do.
You hear that, Claire?
And so I didn't find it hard at all. But yeah. I also must add that it's You need to change your thinking.
Completely.
And I think that that is probably the most difficult part.
You need
is
to be creative.
You need to change your way of thinking. You can do it, but if you can't change your way of thinking, it's really quite hard to.
And what about your thinking did you have to change?
Well, as Dad just said, I had to become creative. Had to think out of the box. Because people think if you're vegan, you're making a salad and you're cooking cabbage and you're cooking peas and you could be cooking gems and then that's dinner. That's not dinner. And there isn't a limit on what you can cook and how you can cook it. So
I mean, in an age where I don't really want to like market free websites with our app launching soon, but we do live in an age where there are so many recipes out there. And you're right. I think the hardest thing is changing your methods of cooking.
You've got to be creative.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt. I mean, there are days I don't feel creative. I'm not a chef like Claire, Sharon, Roberto.
But there's also days she doesn't feel creative. So it's not just chefs. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But you can Google anything. You don't even need a recipe book. You can Google a recipe and it's there in a second on your computer. So yes, you do have to be creative. I think you need to be colorful with your food. You need to be creative. You need to experiment, really. You need to use different herbs and spices and different vegetables. But there's no end to what you can put together. You don't have to be eating roast vegetables and salad.
And it's okay to have that as well if you want. And those are like more of the easier options. But I suppose it also opens up the amounts of food out there that we actually turn a blind eye to. Right. Because most households, it's like chicken, one veg, and rice, unless you banting. And then it's like chicken and veg or meat and veg. And it's like, you get stuck in that rat race of like having the same foods.
Well, as the homemaker and as the person who's cooking and you eating your regular diet, you would go to the shops, you would think, what meat am I eating? What chicken? What fish am I eating? And then you would think of what's going to go with it.
I would get the call. Please bring me this meat. So that's my biggest advantage of not having to bring meat anymore.
Yeah.
Because I always got the call. Please bring this. We're having a braai. Please bring that.
So, now you go to the veg department and you need to decide how creative you're going to be out of the vegetable department.
And it almost makes you connect with food more, I believe. Or for me, it has. Because you're having to really mindfully think about your food. Because there's no like quick fix. You can't just go home and crack an egg over the stove and scramble it up and put it on a piece of toast and just gobble it up and go on and watch CNN. It takes a lot of preparation, especially for you, Mom, because you are, like you said, you're the one cooking. Dad has been very lucky to be coming home to meals all the time.
Extremely.
I kind of think that is maybe that did help.
That's
Dad
helped plenty because I didn't
stick
I've
on
never
the
had
road.
To think.
Of course. I mean, there's no vegan restaurants around here.
Not at all.
Plus, the food you pick dish up for me for work.
Yes.
I used to stay at work.
And I think that's the other thing that really helped in the beginning and that really does help is if you're going to cook something and it's going to be creative and it's going to really be yummy, I don't really like frozen food, but do it. If it's going to make your life easier, if you work. And it's going to make your life easier to make soup and freeze it or make vegetable curry and freeze it, do it. There are going to be days you're not going to have the time or the energy to think.
It's all relative to where you are.
Correct.
So a lot of listeners will follow Claire and I and we're very pedantic on what we do, but it's because we've we've come from where you guys were and were before that. And if you guys look at people that are still eating meat, it's like baby steps. As long as you're moving forward, it's all relative to where you are. So I advocate frozen meals for people that don't have the time. If they're going to be eating an egg or meat instead, I'll be like, freeze your vegetable curry and have that five times a week. That's going to get you past diabetes, probably past a cancer scare, past, and it's going to prevent so much. And tastes, did you ever have to sacrifice on tastes?
No.
Never. And I think that's what a lot of people are scared of, right?
And I want to actually mention the biggest thing where one can make his mind up. The sugar diabetes wasn't affecting me yet, although I'd know it could have, right? And the cholesterol. But my saving was the pain I used to go through in my hands, my feet, my knees. I couldn't walk sometimes. I couldn't bend. My hands, I had to take tablets because it was so painful. And I don't touch anything now today. And that is instant. I mean, your pain just disappeared. And that's what I think to myself, but why do I want to go back to that?
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, a lot of the other stuff can cause problems later in life.
Mm.
But this it's virtually stopped. I mean, I just said, right, no more painkiller, no more anything, and I don't need it anymore.
Mm.
So surely that tells one why I stuck to it, why I've just kept on with it.
How much would you say, I know medical aid probably was covering it, but how much do you reckon that your pills cost per month?
Of course, you know that.
Oh, wow, it was a lot. 1,700 rand. Like, it was over 1,000 rand.
Oh, 1,700 rand.
So 1,700 rand, that's equivalent to like $120 a month. It doesn't sound too lot to Americans, but in South African terms, that's a hell of a lot. And if so, that eradicates the argument also on like veganism is more expensive.
But the other thing, besides your chronic medicine and all that, we have not had flu.
Nothing. I in fact,
we have not had bronchitis since the day we became vegan.
Mm.
I often say that when I see people sick, I said, they must be meat eaters. Because I said, I don't get sick. I said, 3 years running now, I've not been sick.
Yeah. It's incredible. So it's like,
I don't say I'm never going to get sick, but I'm just saying that's
the benefits you've experienced.
Exactly. I've always, when I see people sick, I say, eat meat and you're going to get sick. And that's exactly what we
I think your immune system just.
I don't know.
Has a boost.
Well, you're on a very pro-inflammatory diet, eating a lot of meat, a lot of cheese, a lot of milk, a lot of sugar and sweets as well. And now it's pretty much you're on like an alkaline diet. And not to like harp on that too much, but what that happens is your pain goes because it's caused by inflammation and you start, you've got more energy and you training and it's really a lifestyle change. It's not a diet change.
Well, I had kidney stones from the age of 20 and I used to pass them. I could build a brick wall with all the stones I passed. And yes, I did take Pericost to stop it and it did stop for a while.
Yeah.
But now that I'm totally vegan and I don't have, as you said, I'm totally alkaline.
No more rocks.
I don't take any of those tablets and I still don't have any rocks.
Have you not had any kidney stones since being vegan?
Nothing.
And I don't take tablets at all.
Not one.
That's amazing.
So my boundary wall is actually getting lower.
You can see over the fence now.
I can see over the fence. There's no more wall. Yeah, there's not one. And that was, if anyone knows what pain goes in that.
Did you ever experience any side effects from the meds you were taking? Mom?
Yeah. No. Did you have any side effects? I think.
I suppose you don't know because you were taking pills for everything.
You're used to them that whatever you're doing.
It's becoming a norm.
It's the norm. So even if it did give you other pain. I mean, let's face it. Today, cholesterol tablets are known to actually give you achy joints. Mm. It's a fact. I mean,
that could have been from the cholesterol tablet.
So that is definitely a
it's a big bonus, and I'm really happy you're off the meds now. And You know, it doesn't mean that you're never going to get sick, but no. It does mean that you've got more energy. You lost 25, 30 kilos? 37 kilograms. And I think that was in a space of 6 months.
It's the weight of two whole lambs.
And you, it's mad. And you were not going low carb at all. If anything, you were eating more portion-wise. I mean, I remember some nights you were eating like double, like two portions of pasta.
You can.
And it's just like, and you didn't have to worry about counting calories anymore and counting portions.
Not at all. And for 3 years, I've not worried about, I just eat whatever I can eat. It's plant-based.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how much you eat of it, and I don't, it's
fine.
The weight, so within a kilo up and down, that's basically it.
Yeah.
In actual fact, we never ate carbs because I always thought carbs is bad for you.
Mm.
So we would always have our protein and vegetables, and Dad did not like vegetables and did not eat vegetables and salads. So I have very seldom cooked carbs, whereas now we eat potato. We're eating potatoes. We're eating...
Mm. Well, I mean, I think now they're just proven scientifically, you know, in all research journals that that information that carbs are bad for you are of yesteryear. And I think people are catching on to it very quickly, especially with stories of reversing diabetes like this on high carb and
but
all that.
But you're forever tired when you're just eating protein. Mm.
Well,
because
you're starving your body, right?
Yes, there's no carbohydrates to be keeping you going through the day.
So interesting point. A lot of people think protein is for your muscles and, you know, and omega-3s is for your brain. And yes, your muscles use the protein to repair, and omega-3s, your brain does use it. But the main fuel for muscles, your brain, for everything in your body is glucose. And glucose is broken down from carbohydrates. Oh. And carbohydrates, I think we've just mixed up in today's world. We've mixed up what a carbohydrate is. People talk about a carbohydrate and they think a white roll or white bread or a processed carbohydrate. But there's carbohydrates in vegetables and pumpkin and butternut and, you
potatoes,
know, and
potatoes,
sweet potatoes. So, I mean, it's in abundance. What health benefits did you experience? If any, because I know you were healthy at this stage, but you experienced...
I had high cholesterol, which was the genetic cholesterol.
Yeah.
I didn't have to take tablets for it because...
Just because you didn't want to.
I know my good was...
Oh, so your HDL was high and your LDL was low still, which LDL is the bad cholesterol.
Yes. So
but
I
overall
never
it was
to,
high.
But overall it was high. Mm. I mean, it was at 7.2. And I was told I will never get my cholesterol down because it's the genetic one, because granny, my mom, had very high cholesterol.
Which you gave to me.
Sorry, Gary, you got it. But my cholesterol came down to 5.4.
See, boom.
So
perfect where you want it.
It has also come down, and I don't have any problems. So
also,
I don't have any. I've never taken
you
any.
You also lost weight.
Yes, I also thought I was quite comfortable, and I went on to lose 10 kilos.
10 kilos, which cost me a fortune because the whole border about to change.
But it's so amazing. But let me tell you, it's so ridiculous and it's so crazy how when you lose weight,
you feel good.
Besides that, you feel good. How people will sometimes say to you, don't lose weight. You're looking sick. You know?
Oh, in the beginning.
It's ridiculous. I think that just about drove me dilly. Is they would tell you
I think people are, it's food. Food is a very emotional experience 100%. Because we've all grown up in Italian families or Afrikaans families or everything that all socializing is around a table with food. We're doing it right now. You know, we've just finished dinner and we're all around a table. And luckily, South African, the ethos of South Africans really are you sit down with your family and you celebrate with food. And it's an emotional pain point for a lot of people. And it's great. And I want to hear this. And I was like, I know it was very hard for you guys socially because you don't have any friends that are vegan. You don't.
No.
Claire and I have made, it's different in our age group. Your age group can't teach an old dog new tricks. No one really wants to change. So how was that experience for you? Because people were judging in the beginning. They were telling you, you're looking awful.
They stopped inviting us out because they always said they didn't know what to cook for us. So a lot of people weren't, we were going to restaurants rather because they didn't want to cook anymore at home because they didn't know what to cook.
Most people are still like that. So I guess that's maybe the only downside. And I've had to also it's not a downside. I've just realized that there are people who go out their way to, I don't expect anybody to cook especially for us. I always make sure that if we go somewhere, I take something with so that we're never hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I've always taken food with to people before. I've always done my part. But I think it's kind of irritating when people say to you, I can't invite you to our home anymore because I don't know what to cook for you.
Mm.
Or we can't go out anymore because you're not going to eat meat. People think you need to be eating meat to be social.
Mm.
And the more I say to people, even if I don't eat, I'm coming out to be with you and to have a nice time. I'm not coming out because of my plate of food.
Mm.
But I think generally, everywhere in the world, people think you cannot socialize if you don't eat meat, chicken, and fish. I mean, I can't understand that.
Mm.
We don't get invited to Braai's anymore. Now, you can do the most amazing barbecued vegetables.
You guys do it all the time.
And today there are products out there you can put on the barbecue.
Of course.
I always say this. I don't want to take over this conversation. That I can get quite excited in this part of the conversation. But people can sit on their computers and they can get through Facebook easily. They can get through all the social media easy. They can find any information they like easy. But yet they cannot Google how to make one vegan dish. It drives me dilly.
For us as well, actually. Like when we go places, like how for Claire and I, it's quite eye opening when there isn't an option. Like, and we've been to functions where there isn't an option and we're like, how is it possible? Because like you know that we're coming, you know that we're vegan, like we will, you know, yes. Like it's not like, so in an earlier interview today, I had with someone and she pointed out, she's like, anyone can eat vegan, anyone can eat plant-based. You're not excluding anyone. But when you've got meat on the table, you're excluding quite a few people, not just vegans. People that are kosher, people that are halal because they don't know where it's been produced. Yeah. Vegetarian, Hindus, yeah. Buddhists, Muslims. So it's like it really is a diet of what's the word I'm looking for? Like segregation.
Yes.
I think. And when you cook vegetables, everyone cooks vegetables and with exactly. their meat, and everyone cooks potatoes. But I think what you guys don't like is, from what I pick up, it's more the awkwardness of like going there and people don't really want to cater.
No, they don't. That's
But it has become easier. You know, in the beginning it was bad.
Because now take your own food or what? What makes it easier?
Because people are understanding that we're vegan.
They understand that you.
So that's what I'm saying. So if we go to
there's always an option. But you guys are good now, though, because you take food.
Correct. And we go to restaurants now. A lot of restaurants have the option. We can, at most restaurants, we can order food today.
Mm.
You know, they might not have a vegan option, but we tell them what we want.
At least every one of our restaurants has one option.
They have an option, so we can go now.
We're going to order at every restaurant.
Well, look, it's a bit of a small town, so it's like, yeah. They know they're going to be seeing you soon. So it's good to see restaurants are willing to cater. And obviously restaurants are being pushed that way. I mean, the vegan train is here to stay. Like, this ain't going anywhere. This is not a fad. It's not a trend. It's nothing. People are generations have adopted it, you know, not just groups of people, generations have adopted it. You've got very, very, very influential people that have gone vegan, and for many different reasons. You guys are for the health. I started for health and now in it for everything, animal welfare, the health of the planet, etc. Claire started from an animal point of view and is fed into health. So we all have our own reasons for starting, for being plant-based. And if we look at the picture as a whole, then it will start making sense that it's not just, you know, like be plant-based, but also don't use plastic, you know, or like recycle, or, you know, you start understanding how we fit into the world. Yeah, it's a difficult time we live in, but it's also a really fun time because we have things like Google. And we can outreach. And you guys don't think about, you don't really think as much. Like you look at youngsters being influential, but you guys are influencing your friends. Trust me, every single day. Because when you go to a braai, which is a barbecue in South Africa, when you go to a braai as vegans and you take your own food, most of the times they finish your food first.
I was just going to say, our food is finished all the time.
10 times.
They prefer the food, they leave the other.
Yeah. So that tells me
I end up with nothing again. Yeah. And I look at my food and it's gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the other day we went to our clubhouse and they made special food for us being vegan.
Yeah.
When I looked around, all my food was gone. Because it wasn't labeled and people just thought, well, that's lovely. Let me eat it.
And they loved it.
So, yeah. And I also read an article the other day that it's veganism is for the elite only, which is so nonsense. Yeah. Because you don't have to spend a fortune on being vegan. You know, if you want to buy the wrong foods, yes. Yeah. But if you buy veggies and you, it's not any.
Well, it's not buying the wrong foods; it's just buying.
No, but there's a lot of wrong.
But most of the expensive vegan food is the processed food. Correct. You know, like your Beyond Burgers and your processed food and fries and that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But if the normal, it's not more expensive, and you can.
I agree.
Go to that
point. We'll look at the biggest poverty populations around the world. If you look at rural areas, so like rural India, rural China, rural Japan, these are like where all the blue zones are, like all these areas, there's loads of health and there's longevity and people are living a long time and they're working till late because they need to earn money and all that. Like in Bali, if you look at the old men in the farms, you know, they're farming. They're like, Claire and I joke around. It's like, we always joke that they're like 110 years old because that's how old they look. And they're skinny and they're healthy and they're picking up bags of rice. And their grandkids are at the shop running a store for the Western tourism market. And they're overweight and all that. And these guys are sustaining themselves on rice, cheap vegetables. I'm not saying like broccoli florets and that. So it's like a cheap vegetables that are local, rice, potatoes, carbs in abundance, and they're so healthy. And and then you go to Western world in the so-called elite, and this is where there's obesity with kids and adults. I think they say 1 in 2 people now in America are obese. And it's going to be 2 out of 3 people very soon. Diabetes now is very prevalent in kids younger than 10 years old now, which is crazy to think about. And cancer, diabetes, autoimmune, and all these diseases are ripe in the Western world, in the elite world, where all the money is.
Do you know how many people will say, you've only got one life. Why don't you just eat what you want? Then I want to say, well, yeah, I have got one life and surely I need to live that life healthy. I want to live as long as possible.
Make it a long one and feeling
not,
great.
Yeah, eat to live and not live.
Well, my biggest scare is I don't know if I'm going to have enough money till I'm 120 because I'm scared I'm going to now live so long. So that's my big scare. But I'm relying on you at the end.
It's so true, man. It's like even if vegans didn't live longer, if you ate plant based and it didn't make you live longer, okay, it still gives you a lot more energy. You'll have fewer sick days. Like you guys haven't been sick. You'll have a bigger and better chance of preventing illness and disease. And I'm not saying vegans don't get disease,
but
you will 100% have an advantage in preventing it.
Well, for the time I'm around, I'm feeling good. And that's what I say.
But like Sienna said, you've had a good life, Nono.
Yeah. And I'm hoping I'm around when she gets married. I'll tell her that as well. But that's really what it is. Like you said, if it be another 5 years, 10 years, as long as I'm healthy and the way I am now and the way I feel, I'm happy to be there.
Yeah, you can run to your funeral.
Absolutely.
But look at Sienna. She sent me a WhatsApp. We're going to visit our granddaughter in LA next week. We only see her once a year. And I got a message from her this morning to say, please don't bring any sweets. Don't bring sugar. I've had too much sugar. I've been on vacation. I've had too much sugar. And this is a 13-year-old that's realized.
She's realized. She's probably realized it through the effects of what it does to you.
Yeah.
Of because there's two facets to health. It's like the processed food and
sugar bug.
Yeah, and animal products. And you guys have turned your life around. You've turned everything around. You're influencing all your friends and family, and it's inspiring.
I think for us, our biggest change has now come this year, where our housekeeper, the beginning of the year, was so ill, also threatened sugar diabetes. And Gary, that can be another podcast for you.
Mm.
Decided she's becoming vegan. And to today, she's vegan, and she's turned her life around, and she's lost all her weight. And it's not about the weight.
Yeah.
It's not about losing the weight, but it's obviously it has its side effects. And how she's trying to get everybody else now
in her own
community to stop eating meat, and they all saying to her, what are you doing? Mm. Tell us, you know, you're looking so good. So for me, for Veronica to have turned a leaf has been, besides dad was number one. Veronica has, that is just phenomenal to me.
It's a ripple effect. And like I said to everyone, if everyone realizes they can influence at least one person in the world, you can change the world very quickly. So you're right. That is amazing. I don't give it much credit, but it is an incredible change in this whole household. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you to Gary.
Yeah,
you helped us along, and you're the one that encourages us along the way. And Claire teaches us and me new things in the kitchen now, and this.
We're just jamming our best life all together. That's what it's about.
And you clean up the pantry cupboard.
it's cool that we can all do this together. And it really is. A lot of people say to me, it must be so amazing having your whole family vegan. I'm like, I don't think about it as much. I take it for granted a lot of the times, but it is really cool because every time we come home, it's really, it's such a feel good feeling to like walk in to a home that you grew up in, and be able to open the fridge and it's full still, but with vegan stuff. So it's great.
No sweetie cupboard.
No, that was great though when I was younger. but thank you for sharing your story with all our listeners today. Obviously, I know the story, but I'm hoping that it influences one of you out there. Guys, normally I ask my guests, so where can people reach out to you? but my parents aren't really on social media and I don't want you clogging up their inbox. But if you have any questions for them, please feel free to reach out to me on social media. At Gary_Tirola. Otherwise, you can email me directly to my email, Gary@GaryTirola.com, and you can ask me questions, and I will literally forward the mail to them, and then I will reply with their answers, because they are much wiser than me in years. So, have a great week, and we'll catch you next week. And I almost forgot. Every single week I ask my change makers the similar questions and the same questions, one or two very powerful questions that I borrow from Oprah. Thanks, Opes. First question I'm going to ask, Dad, complete the sentence.
This world needs many more vegans.
I love that. And Mom, what does the soul mean to you?
Oh, what does the soul mean to you? It's just your being.
I love it, but your soul is your being. And what would you say, finish this sentence, what the world needs?
A whole lot more love and compassion.
Yes, there we have it. So we've heard it from the oldest change makers on the podcast to date. Guys, I hope you got some inspiration. And I urge you to get this podcast to your parents, your grandparents, whoever the people in your life are saying that it's too late to change, or I've had my life, I've had a good life. Get them listening to it, play it for them, download it for them. And please don't forget to subscribe and rate the show. It's the way we get it to more ears. And I love you, and I'll see you next week. It means so much to myself and my change-making friends that you decided to spend some of your valuable time with us. It would mean even more if you could share their inspiring message to your loved ones. As someone once told me, the only thing more powerful than changing the world every day for the good is doing it with a community. Guys, I love you, and I cannot wait to welcome you back next week. Remember to reach out to me directly at hello@garytirola.com if you have any questions, or hit me up on social media, Gary_Tirola, Instagram, and Facebook. I'm here for you, so let's do this together.